From Alaska Public Media, this is State of Art. Welcome to State of Art, your weekly dose of Anchorage arts and culture. I'm Ammon Swenson. Coming up, we'll hear from Wasilla-raised singer Hillary Gardner. She recently released an album of soulful country-tinged songs titled On the Trail with the Lonesome Pines. It's a collection of genre-blending trail songs written for film and television that harken back to the mythologized American West. She's based in New York City, but we won't hold that against her. While Wasilla isn't considered a show business launching pad, that's where she cut her chops, taking music lessons and performing in dive bars.
It was an unusual background. It was really eclectic, though, and it covered so many different bases, you know, with this classical foundation, and then also just getting really boots on the ground playing gigs from an early age. So, I mean, Alaska was a pretty interesting place to start making music, actually.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, since you've been in New York, you've done quite a few different things, multiple album releases,
looks like so many different things,
stage performance, other stuff like that. But let's talk about the newest album, On the Trail with the Lonesome Pines. So that came out on March 8th. And it looks like, you know, as far as I understand it, you know, this is a collection of old trail songs that, while, you know, country tinged, are difficult to categorize into any specific genre. What attracted you to these specific songs, and maybe kind of what meaning did they have for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're exactly right. I mean, I think you actually put it beautifully. These are country-tinged songs that are not exactly country music. You know, they were written by jazz and film composers, mostly for movies, but they're not exactly just jazz songs. There's elements of Americana, but I wouldn't really call them that either. So they do occupy this kind of wonderful musical hinterland where all of these different sort of styles and vocabularies converge. And I started getting interested in the music in 2020 when, you know, in New York, everything completely shut down for quite a while. And certainly as a, you know, performer, live music was just over. It literally stopped, you know, overnight. And so all of a sudden I had a lot of time on my hands, and I just was kind of, I was thinking a lot about wide open spaces, because again, locked down in a one bedroom apartment
in
Brooklyn. And the first song that I checked out was Twilight on the Trail. And I was so intrigued and captivated by the imagery in the lyrics. You know, it was very cinematic. These images about, you know, walking through the trail, building a campfire, the ceiling is my sky, and the grass on which I lie is my floor. And then it kind of, on the bridge of the song, it talks about how, you know, I've never had a nickel in my jeans, never had a debt to pay, but still I understand what real contentment means. I guess I was born that way. So now you're looking at what really matters in life. And then on the last A section, that song, it becomes a metaphor, I think, for the end of life. It says, you know, when it's twilight on the trail and my heart is still, or my voice is still, excuse me, please plant this heart of mine underneath the lonesome pine on the hill. And so in just 32 bars, or maybe I have to do the math. Maybe it's a little bit more, but that song's covering a lot of ground, you know, and it's doing so with this beautiful melody and really charming story. And it's got a simplicity to it, but it's a really heavy song. And so I started exploring it more, and I'm a big Bing Crosby fan. And the more that I uncovered these tunes, the more I realized that there's this whole body of work that's just been sitting there for decades because it doesn't fit neatly into a box, which is exactly what drew me to it. And then I wound up working with just exactly the right group of musicians to help kind of just bring it to life. So it's been a funny thing. In some ways, it's absolutely a return to my roots, you know, singing country songs and bars in Alaska, but also it's something completely new because, as you said, they're not exactly country. And with the exception of just two songs on this 12 song album, everything was unfamiliar. It was all new material. So it's been really exhilarating to explore this little genre here.
Yeah. This album is kind of a interesting mix of like soulful vocals over some old timey twang. And to me, it evokes a time when people, you know, would gather around the radio after a long day. Do you ever feel like an artist like in the wrong decade, or are you kind of more so like continuing some of these musical traditions?
I mean, I think all of the above, maybe. I mean, I definitely love the idea of, you know, gathering around a radio to listen to like a beloved program. And in fact, it's been really moving with listeners of a certain age. You know, people come up and these were new songs to me, but so many people come up to me after shows and they say things like, you know, this brought me back 70 years. I feel wow. like I'm a little boy again, or, you know, a little kid watching TV or listening to the radio. So that definitely rings very true. But then it also feels like a wonderful gift to have uncovered this treasure trove of material, and to have the opportunity to introduce it, you know, to audiences, to reintroduce it in some cases. So, you know, we don't get to choose the time that we're born in, but sometimes, you know, sometimes I wish I didn't have to deal with, you know, streaming platforms and those things. It might be easier to just, you know, do a record, do a radio show.
Well, I mean, it just kind of struck me that, you know, like listening to that album, it really is almost like a form of time travel. And I think that's kind of one of the cool things about, you know, kind of at least like what you're doing, where it does kind of maybe evoke a different time period, but you are bringing it to modern audiences, allowing them to time travel, I guess.
Thank you. Well, and I think that you're bringing up something that's really key to this whole era of, and this whole genre, is that, you know, the American West, not the literal historical American West, but the American West that lives in our collective imaginations is really universal. It's, you can go just about anywhere in the world and they'll know what a cowboy is. They have this idea, you know, of westward expansion of the West, of camping out on the plains, you know. And I think there is a timelessness to that, because it speaks to something that we hold in our collective sort of consciousness. It's so American. It's so thoroughly itself, this romantic archetypal idea of the West. So I do think it's a form of time travel. I was very fortunate recently to get a great write up in the Wall Street Journal, and the writer Will Friedwald, who knows everything about American popular song, he said that the album invites it's a sound that creates a surreal extraplanetary prairie of the mind, which I love, because it invites people to sort of, you know, go west, whatever that means to them.
Totally. And I completely agree. It takes you someplace mentally almost immediately upon like the first notes. But I mean, speaking of some of the music, do you have any particular favorite songs, or did any of them maybe have any especially like memorable moments, either like discovering the song or tracking it out in the studio?
Well, one of the songs that feels very, I don't know if you can hear that siren, but I'm in the middle of Manhattan right now.
Yeah,
so it's kind of the opposite of the peaceful West. There were two songs on the album that I had some previous knowledge of. One of them is I'm an Old Cowhand, which was written in, I believe, 1936 by Johnny Mercer. And Bing Crosby had the first big hit with it. But I first heard it when I was probably about 10 in Wasilla, listening to my parents' record collection on an album by Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks. And Dan Hicks was a Bay Area musician who, you know, fittingly enough, he also didn't conform to any particular genre. There were elements of pop. He wrote some great songs, certainly some elements of country and Western swing. So he was a unique musician, and I just loved that recording. And that song is a spoof, really, of like an urban cowboy who, you know, knows all the cowboy songs because he's heard them on the radio, and he rides the range in a Ford V8 pickup, not on a horse, you know. So there's a lot of humor in that song. And then for one of the tunes, it was brand new to me that I really fell completely in love with. I got the vintage sheet music for A Cowboy Serenade while I'm smoking my last cigarette. And it was just such a beautiful, elegant melody. And it just painted such a picture, you know. It's kind of a little art song, but it's about a cowboy smoking alone by a campfire. And it's just so evocative. And I really love what the band does. The way that song took shape in the studio, it really does kind of go on a little journey. So that's one of my favorites, too.
It's probably kind of difficult to escape your influences and your upbringing. But, you know, how does your Alaska upbringing influence your art, if at all?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I think this project is proof that my Alaska upbringing has influenced my art. You know, these songs are a combination of this sort of metropolitan or cosmopolitan musical architecture, in that they were written by people who were writing for Hollywood. They were written by people who were writing what we now think of as jazz standards or Great American Songbook pieces. But they're all about the beauty of nature, the expansiveness and contemplative qualities of solitude, the melancholy that comes from solitude, you know, being in the natural world, and there's a twang to them. And so there's that duality that exists in those songs. And there absolutely is that duality that exists in me. I mean, I'm a New Yorker through and through, but I'm also country. I've gutted salmon and butchered moose, you know, and that doesn't leave you. I'm the only person I know in New York who's gutted salmon. So those things coexist. And with this project, they coexist very happily and comfortably. So Alaska is very present in my music.
Well, let's talk about your group Duchess for just a sec. It sounds like it also kind of harkens back to an older time with the stylings and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Duchess is a close harmony vocal trio, and we're largely inspired by the music of the Boswell sisters, who were actual sisters from New Orleans in the 1930s. And they were kind of the original inspiration for the much more famous and more prolific Andrews sisters, who came a little bit later. So a lot of what Duchess sings, we're very fortunate to have an arranger who writes exclusively for us. So we sing a lot of new arrangements that were written just for us to sing, but we also sing transcriptions of that Boswell and Andrews sisters repertoire from the 30s and 40s. So it's kind of a hodgepodge, and it definitely harkens back to an earlier period of the 20th century, for sure.
I see a running theme in your career.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Past and present.
Yeah, melded together.
Yep, absolutely. I hadn't thought about that really, but I think you're right.
Awesome. Let's wrap things up with a song, if you don't mind. Would you like to maybe introduce one for us and maybe talk about it just for a sec?
Let's do Jingle Jangle. It's really fun.
Oh, okay.
This song is a really fun one. Now that we've talked about all these serious themes about nature and melancholy and solitude, this is just a straight up really fun swinger of a tune. It was written by Joseph J. Lilly, who was a prolific Hollywood composer and orchestrator, and also Frank Lesser, who wrote, among many other things, the musical Guys and Dolls. And this was a big hit for them, and it's about a very commitment-phobic cowboy. It's a really good time, and it features my good pal Justin Poindexter on vocals as well. It's called Jingle Jangle Jingle, I Got Spurs.
I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle, as I go riding merrily along. And they sing, oh, ain't you glad you single? And that song ain't so very far from wrong. Oh, Lily Bell, oh, Lily Bell, though we may have done some fooling, this is why I never fail. I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle, as I go riding.
That was Hillary Gardner. The Wasilla Raised singer has a new album out called On the Trail with the Lonesome Pines. And that's all the time we have for you today. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org, the Alaska Public Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ammon Swenson. Thanks for listening.
State of Art is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed are those of the hosts and participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Theme music is Spring Breakup by Termination Dust. Get in touch with the host by sending an email to soa@alaskapublic.org.